edition of the Molloy program. We'll be off tomorrow night for Molly's birthday. We will be playing a best of. We've had about 24 hours now to see the latest example of the evil, the filth, that is Fox News and the right wing in this country. This scum sucker, Breitbart, is, I don't even want to talk about him tonight. I really don't. But the collective hatred that Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and Drudge and Breitbart and the rest of these animals are forcing into the society is breaking the society into a million pieces. I think you know that. The white people who are doing this are, you know, I don't care if they're called Tea Party or Klan, same thing. Now they're after poor old Michael Steele, of the Republican Party leader, because he's a black man. There is not a person of color in this country, and by that I mean Middle Easterners, whether they're Arab or Jew, South Americans, it doesn't make any difference what their country of origin is. African Americans, it matters not if they are native born or just arrived here and have become citizens. It makes no difference. There is a cadre, and it's huge, of white people in this country who want to destroy anything that is not white. Currently, it is being led by Glenn Beck, who is a killer at heart. We can only hope that he goes blind before he can cause even more damage. Of course, we could only hope that Limbaugh would go deaf before he could cause damage. And look, we could only hope that Cheney would die before he could cause any more damage. But look, the potential for real chaos caused by Fox News and all of the scum that work there, and pieces of waste like Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin and Sharon Engel and Breitbart and the rest of these filth is enormous. Here's an example. This is from Fire Dog Lake today. Teddy Partridge posted this. And what he writes about, he heard that Byron Williams, that heavily armed and bulletproof vested ex-con who got into a shootout with the California Highway Patrol, remember that? After a traffic stop on an interstate out there, he was headed to the ACLU and a place in San Francisco at the Presidio called the Tides Center. The Tides Center. And he was, can you kill that sound? And he was heading there to kill liberals. That's what he said. So, Teddy Partridge at Fire Dog Lake and me, and a lot of people started to wonder, where did this loser, this ignorant loser from Groveland, California, who lived with his old lady, he lived with his mother, and who had broken into her gun case to steal her guns for his raid on liberal institutions. How did this piece of human waste ever hear of this place called the Tides? Now, not to set myself up as the intellectual standard or someone who should know about, I've never heard of the Tides. Never heard. Have you, Kathy? Never heard of a place called the Tides. What is the Tides? According to Teddy Partridge at Fire Dog Lake, the Tides Center is essentially an aggregator of wealthy heirs' money. This is people who have lots of money. They didn't do anything for it, done nothing to earn the money. But they are heirs to huge fortunes, and they happen to be of the liberal persuasion. You've heard me talk about these people before, right? Not about the Tides people, but about wealthy liberals. Well, they do exist. They want to do good, according to Teddy Partridge, but they don't want to be bothered with all the due diligence that responsible philanthropy requires today. So they turn it over to people who operate out of the Tide Center. Now, this place also provides conference center space with quiet and peaceful views of the Golden Gate Bridge. Here's the Tide's mission statement from their website. It goes like this. Our mission is to partner with philanthropists, foundations, activists, and organizations across the country and across the globe to promote economic justice, robust democratic processes, and the opportunity to live in a healthy and sustainable environment where human rights are preserved and protected. That's it. Is that scary? Does that get you upset? Does that make your sphincter muscle tighten up? It does Glenn Beck's. So how does a guy like Byron Williams get motivated to go kill liberals at the Tide Center? Byron Williams' mother was quoted as saying she kept all these guns at home because a revolution is coming, and that her son watched the news and was disturbed by the liberal takeover of America. Now, according to this punk's mother, who spoke to the San Francisco Chronicle, Williams was upset because as an ex-felon, he was having trouble getting a job and was upset at, quote, the way Congress was railroading through all these left-wing agenda items, end quote. You want to know what news he was watching? Well, if you're watching our video feed, let me hold up a screenshot that was at Fire Dog Lake. This is what he was watching. Now, you see on your screen there, if you're watching this, just it would be your left of Glenn Beck's punk-ass head. What do you see there? What are those words? Tides Center. And then see where he has linked everything, Acorn, and all these other... Do you see it? For those of you who are not watching the Ustream feed, the screenshot is Glenn Beck standing there looking like the psychopathic killer that he is, wannabe. He doesn't have the guts to go do this himself, to do anything like this. But he poisons the really weak, crazed people in this country, and he continues to inject the poison. But if you're now watching, there it is, Glenn Beck. At the very top it says Obama in big letters, right underneath it, Tide Center, underneath that, Van Jones, underneath that, Acorn, Black Farmers, the Ella Baker Center, the Sierra Club, Greenpeace, League of Conservation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Glenn Beck, in a different time, in a different place, would be removed from the airwaves for inciting terror, causing riots, trying to overthrow the government. But what happens in this country with a cowardly Democratic president in office? When the lies come out about a Department of Agriculture worker, lies engineered by editing a videotape, and then promoted by a filthy network run by a Nazi, an absolute goddamn Nazi. A Nazi, Rupert Murdoch. And populated by feces like Glenn Beck and the O'Reilly and the rest of these people. This is what happens. In a different time, in a different place, Beck would be dragged out of that studio, put inside a wagon, and taken someplace and held for the rest of his stinking life for what he is doing to this country. He makes me sick to my stomach, and it should make every American who has any interest in this country left at all absolutely sick.
Screaming with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Now, as far as the this disease that has infiltrated our political system and our media and our political class, the people I was just talking about, there is also the issue of the, I'll get to that in a second, the Obama administration, because I want to make sure that what I'm saying is coming through the way I want it to come through. Glenn Beck should be removed from the airwaves. Glenn Beck is inspiring rioting in this country. He wants to see death and blood in the streets. You want an example? We posted something. Have you got that up at our website? You can hear the audio. Breitbart is truly, by any definition, is a psychopath. He was on CNN yesterday whining that it's un-American, his word, un-American, that the NAACP accused the Tea Party movement of racism absent evidence. He says there's no evidence that the Tea Party is racist. Actually, the NAACP provided plenty of evidence of racism within the Tea Party ranks, example after example after example. But, you know, in talking to a psychopath, in the first place, it's better not to. And the second place, if you're going to do that, you have to understand that the person is crazy. Breitbart is out of his mind. He is crazy. So, but to prove the point, a caller who is obviously a Tea Partier, obviously a Republican, obviously someone who likes to eat every word that Glenn Beck says, I left the following message at NAACP's Hollywood Bureau. Now, I can't give this to you on the air, but you can go to my website and hear it. Here's what he said. Of course you won't answer the phone yourself because you're chicken blank races N-words. The entire black race is nothing but a have-not bunch of bums. You can't work for yourselves. All you do is suck off the white man. F you, mother effer. F you. And at this point, he's screaming. You want a race war? You got it, mother effer. You want to effing kill our babies and kill white people? You're gonna effing. The streets will run red with blood. The streets will run red with your blood. F you. Now, you gotta go listen to this. You've got to hear. This is what Glenn Beck and Breitbart and Hannity and Limbaugh, this is what they caused to bubble up out of the sickness in this country. They want this unleashed. Now, I've been talking about this for I don't know how long. And again, if you want the proof, for those of you who are watching on Ustream, I'll show it to you again. There's this monstrous pig, Glenn Beck. And you notice the second, right under Obama, you see Tides Center. The Tides Center. That's where the guy who shot at the Highway Patrol in California was headed to. Have you, gentle liberal, ever heard of the Tides Center? I'll bet you haven't, not unless you live in San Francisco, not unless you live in the Bay Area. But this guy heard about it. And the only place he could have heard about it is on this murderous bastard Glenn Beck show. I used to go to these stupid radio conferences where talk show hosts would get together, and I don't know why. Usually sponsored by Talkers Magazine, an industry rag that is utterly useless except for, I don't know, so the right winger can see who's on the top of the dung heap in any given month. But I had to stop going because the last time I went, remember you were with me, Kathy. It was in New York, And as we were walking into the main concert, in the first place, I almost punched Michael Medved's lights out. You remember that? Sitting at a conference table in front of all these right wing. There must have been 500 people in this auditorium. And I about reached over and punched the son of, punched the guy right in the mouth. But Hannity was standing back in the shadows. Remember when we walked, not in the shadows, he was standing at the door. And we walked in, and he looked at me, and he started to move towards me with his hand out like he wanted to shake my hand. And I looked at him, and I said, just get away. Now, what I, the reason I stopped going to these conferences is because I literally got afraid that, that I was going to go to one of these things, and I'm going to run into one of these guys, and I was going to physically attack them. And then, of course, I'd be busted. I'd go to jail. I'd have an assault charge, yada, yada, yada. And at the time, we were working for Air America then, I think. Air America probably would have fired me 3 years earlier than they did if I would have jumped on Sean Hannity and beat his ass into the ground, or Michael Medved, or any of these guys. But I had to stop going because, you know, I've still got too much Italian and Irish in me. And I hate these people. And if I were to get around them, I'm serious. I don't know if Kathy could, as she's done in the past, restrain me. I really don't. And I'm not trying to sound all macho because I know it would happen. I'd go to jail. That'd be the end of it. But I hate these people with a passion that, that scares me.
The Truth Speaker, Mike Malloy.
Oh, my. Well, if you're, if you are watching or listening on Ustream on the web, yeah, we're having some sound problems again. I don't know. It'll be okay. I promise you. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. We'll figure it out here. I honest to God, don't want to spend any more time on this. I would strongly recommend that if you didn't see him tonight, that on the rebroadcast of Oberman's program tonight, hosted by Lawrence O'Donnell, but Oberman makes an appearance, obviously taped earlier, about this event, this Agriculture Secretary and the firing of Ms. Sherrod, the apology from the White House, and the filth that is Fox News and these psychos that, that want to see destruction and death in this country. But there is another element here, obviously, and that is the willingness of the Obama administration to accept at face value garbage that they should know is garbage at this point. Anything, I've said this before, anything that is on Fox News is a lie. Anything that is put out there by these right-wing bloggers is a lie. Anything that comes out of Palin or Bachman's mouth or these white men, these senators from the South, all of it is a lie. It's either a direct lie and a distorted half-truth. Anything that comes out of the pig man's mouth is a lie. All of it is lies. Anybody with more than a fourth grade education, that is to say anyone who has an education greater than the listeners to these filthy shows, understands that. The Obama administration and Rahm Emanuel and the rest of these people, I think, pride themselves on being highly educated. They're Harvard people. They're Yale people. They're Princeton people. They are so smart. Until something like this comes along, and then they are so crass and stupid. What in the hell happened? Now, Gibbs, press secretary, trying to not trying to spin anything, but to put the best face on this. for the past 2 days. And it's not working, boys. It's simply not working. What's going on here is that the Obama administration keeps getting played. What the hell is wrong with you people? Fox? Why does the President of the United States even acknowledge that these pig bastards even exist? Why do they have a seat in the White House press room? Throw them out! They're not there to report the news. They're not there as reporters. They're not there as journalists. They are there as worms, as people who want to destroy the republic. People who want to see race wars. People who want to see blood in the streets. But Tom Vilsack and whoever whispers in Barack Obama's ear about these things, and the leadership of the NAACP, weren't they quick to jump all over Ms. Sherrod? Weren't they? What has happened that people in positions of political or media power who should know better are so afraid of human waste like Breitbart or Beck or Murdoch? Murdoch is a Nazi. Murdoch is a Nazi. And everyone that works for him is a potential murderer. Do you not get that? Why then does anybody in this administration pay any attention whatsoever to anything these people say? They shouldn't be being listened to. They should be being dragged into the street and pummeled. And I'd be very happy to be the first person to do it. But the Obama administration, to give any attention to something as filthy and degenerate, it was Newt Gingrich who assisted Murdoch in getting citizenship in this country, because he was denied the ownership of Fox News or Fox Radio or Fox Television or Fox anything until he had citizenship. If you remember, Gingrich tried to get a special exemption passed through the Congress back in the mid-90s. In return, one of Murdoch's imprints, I don't know, was it HarperCollins, one of the book publishers owned by this pig, this Nazi pig, agreed to publish Gingrich's book and gave him $1 million advance. And when news got out, Gingrich was forced to return the money. All except for, what was it, Kathy? $1 or something? I don't know. But Gingrich, this degenerate freak, all of these people, all of these right-wingers that taken together are like a collective regurgitation from some hellish, I don't know, netherworld where nothing but creeps and androids and sick and degenerate and eaten up and people like Cheney where they all cluster. And to the to the right wing miscreants who tape every word on this program, it's great fun. I love getting these right wing bloggers. They get they tape the program and then they transcribe the things I say, like I just said, and they put it out there so that the bottom feeders, the real bottom feeders, like these Gunzels over at Free Republic or redstate.com, wherever. So then their least educated and stupidest viewers or readers can send me emails the next day. And it's just, I mean, keep it up. Keep it up. Just keep doing it. But the bottom feeders who run these little red blogs, these little conservative or Republican blogs, it is funny to read what your readers write to me. I have yet to find one that can spell. I have yet to find one that can put together a coherent sentence. Even when they say F you and we hope your daughter dies of AIDS and so on, they misspell everything. I am waiting for the day, almost with anticipation, when I would have a chance to confront one of these people. I remember the last gig I did in San Francisco. And about 2 weeks before the program, the program director, or 2 weeks before the event at a club in San Francisco, I was there by myself and to do, you know, some stand up and then take some questions. And about 2 weeks before the gig, the program director, then program director at the station, Green 960, called me and he was sitting. He said, "I've got you on speakerphone and in my office here, and I have a member of the San Francisco Police Department here, and our promotions director." I said, "Well, wow, what's going on?" And he said, "Well, we got a very serious death threat that we consider serious. It's a picture of the venue where you're going to be, and then a picture of you imposed on that, and over that is a target. And underneath it, it said, 'This is where you die, MF-er.'" And when I stopped laughing, and John, the program director at the time, John said, "You think this is funny?" I said, "No, I don't think it's funny. It just, I've been dealing with this kind of cowardice for 25 years, John." He said, "What do you want to do?" I said, "Well, let's do the gig." Kathy got on the phone and she said, "He'll come out and do the gig, but I want to make sure that there's some kind of protection for him." So what John did, he hired two of the biggest bruisers, an ex-San Francisco cop, one of them was, and the other one was a former bouncer, a black guy and a white guy, and they were like my shadows the whole time I was out there. Well, obviously, and, you know, they're armed and dangerous. But obviously, the coward who made the threat was a Beck follower or a Limbaugh follower or a Bush follower or a Cheney follower. And this is the response. This is the cowardly response of these pigs. I'm used to it. When NAACP gets a death threat, you know, I feel for them because it freaks them out, and it should, because black people in this country have been hanged and beaten and dragged behind cars for God knows how long. But I've said it before, and I've said it a million times, if one of these right-wingers is after me, we have a saying in our old neighborhood, if you want to get ass, you have to bring ass. And it just doesn't happen. Stay with us. Maddow does it. I used to think, boy, I wish I could do it the way Keith Olbermann does it, because he would go after these thugs with a lot of humor and just poke holes through them. But Olbermann is getting very, very pissed off lately. I certainly understand that, Mr. Keith Olbermann, because I've been pissed off for so long, I wouldn't know how not to be about these people. But Rachel is unflappable, and She eviscerates these thugs with lots of videotape. Now, obviously, we can't do that. But Rachel and her staff at MSNBC are incredibly good. They know what they're doing. Oh, my God, do they know what they're doing. But I watch Rachel's program sometimes during the commercial breaks here on my show, because we both run at the same time. They do rebroadcasters here in the East, but we're still on the air when they do that. And the thing that I notice, the thing that I envy so much about her program is the, first of all, her equipment works. And secondly, since it is a television network, you know, they have access to all this video stuff, which really tells a story. Say what you want about the corruption of television, and it is corrupt. But when you get programs like hers or like Oberman's or whatever, the use of videotape, the way they use it, is just, I mean, it's really super. It's really the way to do it, the way to go after these punks, these cowards. But if you get a chance to see Rachel's program tonight on the West Coast, don't miss it tonight. Don't miss it. And Oberman's. I guess Oberman's doesn't come on until 11 o'clock our time, which would be 8 o'clock on the coast. And then Rachel is right after. Even if you have to miss this show, don't miss Oberman and then Rachel Maddow. We do have other things that I want to get to tonight. I just would like to see bad things happen to these right wing pigs. I really would. And I don't care what. I really don't care what. They can go blind. They can go deaf. Their hearts can stop working. They can get in car wrecks. They can drown. I don't care. Just as much bad stuff as possible.
See, blind like Beck, deaf like Limbaugh, and their heart stop like Cheney?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess there is a God listening.
No, but I want to see more of it. I want to see as much as possible. I want to see these people eliminated. They don't do anything except cause chaos. They don't do anything except cause anxiety and fear and hatred and loathing and disgust and contempt. There is not a positive thing you can say about any one of this whole group taken together, and you know who they are. There's not a single aspect of them, their philosophy, their programs, or their lives that is positive on any level. Macro, micro, it doesn't make any difference. This is, the personification of evil, if evil as an intrinsic thing existed. This is it. Or would it be an extrinsic thing? Intrinsic, extrinsic. I'm sure Michael and Roswell will clear that one up for me. Or Irish Dave. They'll send me the proper way to say it. I don't care. You know what I'm saying. So it is impossible for me to not wish all of these people the worst kind of life. Short, brutish, Short, brutish, and... What's the line? Short, brutish, and right wing. If you are able to transcend it, good for you. If you are a normal person, and you can hear it to whatever degree and wherever you hear it from these degenerates. And you can rise above it. I really respect that. I think that's wonderful. Me, I can't do it. I just can't do it. If I'm exposed to it, I react to it. Reaction is not good. Reaction is not good. Eventually, it will probably, I used to think, that eventually it would cause me to wind up in a prison someplace. Not as a visitor, but more like an inmate. And the older I get, and God knows I can't get much older, but the older I get, well, I hope I do, but the older I get, those feelings don't dissipate. You know, note to Bob Alexander or anyone else who's dealing with this, they don't dissipate the older you, that you get. They get more intense for some of us. More intense. So, all right, we have a break, and we're going to take it. And we'll come back after the break, and I've got some more stuff to bring up here. Oh, by the way, now that Vilsack and the White House, and Brad Friedman sent me an email here, and his significant other, Desi, I think she wrote it. Now that they have apologized to Shirley Sherrod, when are they going to apologize to Acorn? Huh? When are they going to apologize to Van Jones? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It's from, I knew Michael would come to you. It's from Thomas Hobbes, from Leviathan. Life is nasty, brutish, and short. I wish that were the case for these people.
Do you know why so?
Seven past the hour. Couple of emails here. Darren in North Carolina writes, Mike. Okay. Are we ready to go now? Okay. Darren in North Carolina writes, Mike, remember back in the campaign when all that Reverend Wright stuff started boiling over and Obama made that fantastic speech on race in Philadelphia, it changed the whole political landscape. Well, racial tensions are even higher now, yet Obama stays silent. So can you please tell me, for the love of God, why Obama doesn't deliver another speech like that on national television in front of a joint session of Congress? Why allow this to fester? What happened to the idea that if you see a house on fire, you grab a hose? Darren in North Carolina. Darren must live out in the country. If you see a house on fire, you grab it. No, I get it, Darren. I do. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, every day that this continues, and I know what these right-wingers are doing, and I know what their brain-dead followers are promoting, and, you know, I try to say to myself, look, the country is heading for a split. And it may be bloody, it may not. It depends on who's in power at the time. But I can see the country breaking into three chunks, and it becomes the Federated States of America as opposed to the United States of America. I see that on the horizon as surely as I see the days of the week laid out. Seriously. The racism that has existed in this country since the very beginning, since before this country was a country, it's always been there. I mean, you can talk to any person of color. I don't care what shade they happen to be. And they will tell you it is something that they live with every single day. I grew up with black kids, and I can remember one of my good friends. His name was Bruce Mathis. And we used to play together a lot. We were in elementary school together from kindergarten, well, first through eighth grade. And I started to notice with Bruce that I would do things that he wouldn't do. Stupid things, like you know, make a scene in the neighborhood, or get mouthy with a store owner. You know, all that stuff that you know, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old punks do, and we were punks, you know. And I noticed that Bruce wouldn't do that. There's so many examples, things that I could get away with that Bruce wouldn't do. And I asked him one time, because I knew he wasn't a sissy. As a matter of fact, I told the story before. He and I got into a real toe-to-toe slug-out fight when we were in sixth grade. I don't know what the issue was, but we got around the school that Bruce and I were going to fight. We met on the playground. Yeah, just like, you know. And I punched him. He punched me. I punched him again. He punched me again. He wound up with a bloody nose. I wound up with a black eye, and then we were best friends. And it wasn't a race fight. It was just one snotty-ass kid, me, fighting another snotty-ass kid, Bruce. The fact that I'm white and he's black didn't matter. It didn't matter to the kids that gathered on the playground. You know, they weren't saying, you know, hit the white boy, hit the black boy. They were just saying, come on, Bruce, come on, Mike, you know, that kind of crap. So once we became best friends after that, And I guess we were in about sixth or seventh grade. You know, I asked him one time. I said, "Well, you know, I do this stuff. Oh, like going through the neighborhood. We had cherry trees in the neighborhood. We had grape. A lot of people grew grapes. They grew cherries, cherry trees. They had apple trees. And we would go through the neighborhood, or I'd go through the neighborhood and go into the backyards at night and steal cherries." And get into the grape arbors and steal grapes until one night I was in there, and in the light of a street light, I saw a great big spider. Scared the hell out of me, about the size of a fist. Never went back there again. But Bruce wouldn't come with me. I said, are you afraid to steal? He said, no, man, I'm not afraid to steal. You know, I said, well, what's the deal? And he would never tell me. And finally, one time we were talking, and he said, you white boys can do things that we can't. What? He said, you know, my parents have been divorced for a long time, but my dad, this is Bruce talking, my dad will come over and he will tell me what I must not do because I'm colored. No, because I'm a Negro. That was how we talked back then. He will tell me the things I can't do because I'm a Negro. You can do it because you're white, but I can't do it. And I then I started to realize what young black kids, especially the boys, were told. And I grew up in the North. I'm not talking about the South. It was even worse here. You know, two words, Emmett Till. But up North, the black kids, the black boys especially, were told, you cannot, in the first place, don't look a white person in the eyes. Don't ever look a white person in the eyes. Second, don't ever say a word to a white woman, even if she talks to you first. Lower your eyes, mumble yes ma'am, and go the opposite direction as fast as your little black ass can take you. And on and on and on and on with stuff like that. And I sat there just shocked. What? What? Are you kidding? So the race thing has always been here, and these vermin at Fox, and these disgusting teabag monsters, and the rest of Dick Nixon with his Southern strategy, Strom Thurmond, all these mumbly white Southern senators, they all know that the race card is right there for them to play. It's always right on the top of the deck. And when you get a psychopath, a really crazy human being like Beck, I don't know how to describe Limbaugh, just a piece of human waste. He has no value whatsoever. If Limbaugh were to croak tomorrow, who in the hell would care? His family, maybe? But when you get these type of people injecting into me through the media into collective consciousness of their trolls, the people that listen to them, all this race hatred, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly that racism in this country is about 1 millimeter below the surface, always has been, and will continue to be, until such time as every right-winger is dead and gone. Until such time as every teabagger has gone on to meet their Jesus or whoever the hell they plan on meeting. Until they all are off the face of the earth. Now, when will that happen? Oh, I don't know. We can pray. If we're the praying type, it'll happen soon. These people are scum. They want to destroy everything. For sport, the rich ones for sport, the stupid ones like this crazy man who decided he was going to go to the Tide Center to kill liberals is Byron Williams. He's not smart. He's just easily manipulable, just like the thugs were, excuse me, in Germany and Italy and Spain in the 20s and 30s. Very easy to manipulate people who are ignorant, who are poor, who see no future whatsoever, but they know what the problem is. It's those damn fill-in-the-blank. Jews, blacks, immigrants, Castilians, fill-in-the-blank. And that's the poison that Beck and his filthy ilk keep injecting into discourse, because they understand that race in this country is the event that is the trigger that will finally break this country, like the attempt was made back in the 1860s. But breaking this country into about three pieces is what they want to see, and it's what they're pushing for, and they know that the trigger is race. It's 21 past the hour. Barry in Oregon writes, MSNBC archives both Rachel and Keith's programs on the MSNBC website, so it's possible to listen to your program as well as not miss Rachel and Oberman's programs. Okay. Didn't know that. Thanks, Barry. And Kat Mary in Memphis writes, one more thing about Vilsack. And Sherrod was instrumental in saving family farms. Vilsack is a former Monsanto employee and a current Monsanto shill. Therefore, he's opposed to family farms, organic farms, any sort of farm that doesn't use Monsanto's genetically modified so-called crops. So, Secretary of Agriculture Vilsack would be happy for any excuse to get Ms. Sherrod off the USDA. Just saying, that's all. Cat Mary in Memphis hating me some Monsanto. Yeah, that's true. And of course, we mentioned that last night. The Vilsack, you know, before the truth of the whole thing came completely out, and Vilsack had to eat his words. Yeah, you know, Obama has surrounded himself with the worst corporate predators in positions of power that you can imagine. I remember after the election, and Obama was, Bush was still, or Cheney was still running things, and Bush was still in the White House, And Obama's selections for various, you know, for his chief of staff and for his various cabinet posts were being made public. And you could hear the liberals and the progressives just gasp. What? Who? I mean, just one after another. The classic example was keeping Robert Gates as Secretary of Defense. You know, Gates is another one. Gates has been around in the defense establishment almost since Roosevelt, the first one, decided to turn America into an imperial power and attack the Philippines. Timothy Geithner is another example. I mean, the whole list of these people, every single one of them is a corporate predator. Every one of them. I got a couple emails here I want to do after this break. Another break coming up here pretty quickly. And then we're going to take some calls. Anyway, Desi, Brad Friedman's sweetheart, wrote to me, and she says, Brad asked me to tell you guys to check out the top item at bradblog.com. Third paragraph regarding Sherrod Acorn, slash Acorn. Not Sherrod connected to Acorn, but just both of them. And she writes, but at one point, the White House seems to have done the right thing in apologizing to Sherrod. Oh, she says, but just one point. White House seems to have done the right thing in apologizing to Sherrod and seems to be making good on the one job they cost in inappropriately firing her based on the deceptively edited hoax videotape posted by pathological liar and con artist Andrew Breitbart. Now, how about those hundreds of jobs lost at Acorn, the four-decade-old anti-poverty, pro-democracy organization, after the president signed a bill defunding them based on an almost identical, deceptively edited videotape hoax as perpetrated by the same Andrew Breitbart? Do they plan to make that one right as well now? If not, why not? Desi, Brad's co-host and managing editor. Well, she's the co-host and managing editor of Green News Report. I'm sorry. Yeah, what about the Acorn people who started back in the late 60s, early 70s, as a reaction? It started out as partly as a reaction to real estate companies redlining neighborhoods where the color of one's skin determined whether or not one could get a loan on a house. And certain neighborhoods were declared just off-limits. I'm talking about up, you know, all over the country, not just in the poor, bloody South. I'm talking about all over the country. And Acorn has, as Desi says, Acorn has been pro-democracy, pro-justice. And this is what these right-wingers hate. Every one of these bastards, every one of them, they should be eliminated. They really should. We'll be right back.
truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Hey Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand? You can take your revenge, but you still feel bad. There must be more to life than lucky strikes and some unlucky ones. Folded flames and pipes and drums.
25 before the hour. All right, let me just a couple more here, and then we'll take some calls. This is from JT. Mike, Alan Grayson said, he's referring to the soundbite that we played last night of Alan Grayson on the floor of the House, really busting the Republicans and doing a good job of it. Much more articulate than I, and with more measured control. Anyway, JT writes through, Mike, Alan Grayson said in closing his statement the other night, quote, may God have mercy on their souls, unquote, because that is what the old-time judges said after condemning a prisoner to death. Grayson has a real set and does not suffer fools gladly. Therefore, he was using an allusion to a death sentence to humiliate and expose the right-wingers and blue dog scum in front of the country. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but good point, JT. And like I said, Grayson is calmer, more articulate, certainly better educated, and much more in control of his emotions than I. But that's why he's a member of the House of Representatives, and I do a talk show with 38 listeners. okay, not 38. Kay Petrini, our education affairs correspondent. And by the way, you can read her stuff at Kay's Report Card, K-A-Y-S, reportcard.com. She writes, Mike, I totally agree with you that it was chicken poop. I totally agree with you that it was a chicken poop, only she didn't say chicken poop, move on the part of the Obama administration to fire Ms. Sherrod based on the lies put forth by Andrew Breitbart. Yes, they should have checked the source. Actually, they should have known better than to give Breitbart the time of day in the first place. But as much as Breitbart's lies and the media maelstrom following their revelation show what a sick, racist society we live in, the reaction of the Obama administration does too. Can you imagine George Bush or Bill Clinton caving into a fabricated accusation like that, and that quickly? Of course not. Hell, Bush didn't even back down on accusations of actual war crimes. He copped to them proudly. And the reason for that has nothing to do with his so-called courage or his so-called leadership qualities, which are non-existent. The reason is because he is white. Obama is not. Obama knows he's being held to a different standard. He knows what the reaction of Teabagger America would have been had the charges against Ms. Sherrod turned out to be true, and had he not fired her 10 minutes before first hearing Breitbart's lies. Oh, look at that! See, Obama hates white people. He's a racist. Even less racist like that woman take positions in his administration. We're going to take our country back. We're going to take our country back. And so forth. Like I've written before, Obama's policies piss me off a lot of the time. He's nowhere near progressive enough for me, but I knew that when I voted for him. I did so because I knew what he represented. I did so because I knew that he represented important changes, even if it wasn't the radical kind I wanted in terms of politics and policy. We can go on and on about the apparent failure of change we can believe in, but I don't think we can forget that the change Obama does represent, being a non-white occupant of the White House in a country with a history like ours, that change is a literal call to arms for the Neanderthal right. And they have been sounding the alarm without let-up through their mouthpieces, Beck, Limbaugh, and the rest. In my opinion, Obama is reacting to this reality, and for that I will never fault him as much as I fault the sick sons of bitches who would like nothing more than to see him dead. If that voicemail left at the NAACP is any indication, I would be surprised if they get their wish one of these days. I just don't think we can forget that this is the country in which we live, and that this is the same country that Obama is challenged with governing. Okay. Well, yeah. I think that's a good point. But if this is not in reaction to what Kay wrote, but a lot of people say, you know, Obama's doing the best he can. Obama's dealing with a racist society. Obama doesn't dare react the way a white man would. And I understand that. Excuse me. I just told a story about my friend Bruce Mathis growing up as a kid. But the difference, I think, between a black man who has, or a black kid who's grown up in America and Barack and grown up in racist America and Barack Obama, who also grew up part of his life in racist America, is the fact that Barack Obama is the president of the United States. Barack Obama has at his disposal more power than any human being in the history of planet Earth. And I'm not just talking about the power of the White House. He has firepower. And he knows it. And and the teabaggers know it. That's why they let their racist rants, they give their racist rants such full throttle. Because this is new for white people. We have a black man as president? There's a lot of ways to react to that. And the dumbasses in our society that listen to Beck and Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest of these pigs react the way they're reacting. But Barack Obama is the president. And it seems to me at some point, like the one email we had tonight that said, why doesn't he call a joint session of Congress? And let it be known ahead of time what he's going to talk about, and then watch how the white Republicans don't even bother showing. I'm redundant here, white Republicans. The Republican members of Congress, House and Senate, won't even show up. A few of them will, and the rest of them will just stay away. But, you know, why doesn't he do at least that? I mean, his country, and it's his to the extent that it's belongs to any president. You know, his country is falling apart, and it's not falling apart. It's being pried apart by racist Nazis who are determined. They are determined to get him out one way or the other before his 8 years are up. And he will be there for 8 years. Don't kid yourself in the least that he's not going to be reelected. They will do anything, though, to get him out. And it's going to occur to these rat bastards that he is not going to leave because of an electoral defeat. It's just simply not going to happen. So as these right-wingers, every single one of them Caucasian, as they continue to turn up the volume and turn up the pressure and turn up the heat, at some point, Obama has got to react. He can't keep pretending like these lunatics are not willing, the lunatics that listen to right-wing media, that they're not willing to do something drastic. They are. Go to my website, listen to that tape from this psycho white man who called the NAACP's offices. Go listen to it. So I've gotten a couple of emails tonight along about the same lines what Kay is saying, and I certainly respect what Kay writes and what the other people writing to me, what they're writing. I do. Ben, did I have somebody? Yeah, Ben. But if Obama is going to continue to react this way. In so many instances, Obama reacts by not reacting at all. And then in other instances, he reacts by through the chain of command, and I realize it was Vilsack who claims, I mean, who are you going to believe? He claims it was his decision, okay, to fire this woman. But Obama reacts by either not reacting, or somebody in his cabinet or on his staff reacts in absolutely the wrong way, by putting pressure on people like Van Jones, by Obama signing a bill that defunds Acorn. Jesus God! At some point, that has to stop. If Obama wants to take the easiest route, which is to say nothing, okay, but why take action against people who are being accused by racist Nazis of being racist? Well, you know, that's the part, Kay, and anyone else who takes that point of view, you know, Obama has to be careful. Okay, I'm not saying he doesn't, but he's also the president of the United States, so we'll be right back.
Show. Talk radio matters here.
That Charlie the Archangel sloped into the 10 before the hour. He said, I have no opinion about this. I got an email from an obvious jerk teabagger regarding house loans and what Acorn tried to do back in the 70s and 80s. This thug writes, why the hell should somebody with darker skin than me get special treatment? See, this is where the stupidity of these people, and the stupidity that Beck is aware of and plays on, really bubbles to the surface. What Acorn was demanding was not that black people got special treatment, but that black people got equal treatment. But, you know, it's just like gay folk who want to get married. And the same right-wing bastards who talk about, marriage is between a man and a woman, they left out the white part. But marriage between a man and a woman, that's all. That's all, marriage between a man and a woman. The queers want special rights. No, the queers don't want special rights. They want the same rights as non-gay people. But the religious crazy people in this country and the racist crazy people in this country and the I hate immigrants crazy people in this country and the Jews are taking over crazy people and the Arabs are going to blow us up crazy people and the Mexicans are going to turn us all into tortilla lovers crazy people. There's so many of these people, and this is why I'm kind of coming down on the side of being in favor of the Federated States of America instead of the United States of America. And I think the white teabagger crazy people should have the old South. I'll have to leave. Of course, a lot of normal people. There are normal people down here, believe it or not. But we'll move someplace else and let you beasts have it. V writes, regarding, he says, the story shocked and sickened me. What story? This story. I guess the whole charade story. V writes, this story shocked and sickened me more so. It's very scary and dangerous. Rarely am I moved to act on such atrocities, mainly because I'm lazy and I'm not an activist. I don't know how to organize. I'm just a working American. Seriously, what can we do? Oh, I know the story. The one that where Beck inspired yet another potential assassin to go try to kill people. How do we get him off the airwaves? It sounds like terrorism. Do we boycott? Do we... Okay, no, I can't say that. I'd like to. He says, blank, 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 blank. I can't do that because I don't have it in me. But he, Beck, incites so much anger that I'm afraid the good people will start to do bad things, and justifyingly so, as far as I'm concerned. But you know darn well that the peace lover who is pushed over the edge would be the terrorist. He's a manipulator and has the ability to create a very dangerous ammo-holding cult. Honestly, what can we do? If you want to ask the listeners, please do. I feel helpless, and I'm really pissed at Obama again, too. Thanks, V, also with Italian blood. Italian blood. Well, it's not so much the blood, I guess, although that was the phrase I used. It's more like temperament. He's a hot-blooded Italian. He's a hot-blooded black man. He's a hot-blooded Syrian. He's a hot-blooded Irish, you know. Susan in Sunny Squim, Washington, writes, it isn't just Acorn they forgot about. The same people did the same thing to the University of East Anglia, which is doing contract work on climate change. Yeah, we talked about this last night. Remember the fake email scam? Well, a lot of people don't realize that the Obama administration pulled their grant funding, too, and they will most likely have to abandon their research since the United States was the principal grantor. Yeah, we talked about this, I think it was last night, wasn't it, Kathy? I am seeing a pattern here. It would appear that a handful of right-wing nuts, along with the fascists at Fox News, are determining White House policy. This is not change we can believe in. It's total madness. Susan in Sunny Squim, Washington. Yeah, the Obama administration, even though three investigations now have totally exonerated the researchers into global climate change, the ones that these right-wing vermin on Fox News, Fox News again, led the charge that it was all phony. I hope before I boil to death on a heated up planet that I have a chance to watch Glenn Beck's eyes pop out of his head and his cheek pouches explode from the heat. But the Obama administration, even though three investigations have come to the conclusion that these researchers did nothing wrong. And we shared it with you the other night. Maybe it wasn't last night. Maybe it was Monday night. But every single point that they were accused, and therefore of which they were accused, and therefore their research was declared questionable because of these petty little things, which is what corporate America wants you to believe. There's no global warming. What global warming? What are you talking about? Even though they were totally exonerated, the Obama administration has gone ahead and pulled the funding for this research. So Susan's right. It's not just the race thing. It seems that just damn near everything that a progressive agenda would insist upon in order to save all of our asses, the Republicans, the corporatists, the teabaggers, the Beck brain dead types, they don't want anything to do with it. You people are so pro death. That's why I talk about, I just wish you all would die because you are pro death. I'm not setting up a karmic way for myself. I don't believe in that crap to begin with, but it is because you are so pro death. You are so pro violence. I just wish it would settle around you and leave the rest of us alone. welcome back to the Malloy program. The city of Oakland, California, yesterday legalized large-scale marijuana cultivation for medical use and will issue up to 4 permits for industrial cultivation starting next year. How about that? The resolution passed the city council easily after a nearly 4-hour debate that pitted small-scale garden growers against advocates of a bigger industrial system that would become a so-called Silicon Valley of pot. Council member Gene Kwan said during the debate, quote, "This is going to grow as an industry, and someone is going to have a high-tech producer." Someone is going to have a high-tech producer, end quote. Oakland already taxes sales of medical marijuana, but cultivation has existed in a legal gray area. Council members plan later action to levy new taxes on growers. Why, of course. I know. I don't want to piss off all the marijuana growers in California, because you guys are doing a hell of a job. You really are. Too bad that Americans still insist on getting pot from someplace other than the United States. Federal law bans marijuana use of any sort, but law enforcement authorities have turned a virtual blind eye to medical marijuana. Large-scale cultivation in California so far has been dominated by criminals who grow marijuana in national forests or complexes of grow houses, law enforcement officers say. Well, they're criminals by definition. And there's a lot of Mexican drug cartels now that have moved into California, I understand. So we'll see what happens. Good on the city council of Oakland. And then there's this. This is from Mark in Oregon. St. Helens, Oregon. I guess I can say that, right, Mark? You didn't ask me not to. But it's news from the killing floor. He wrote this today. Mike, I work for one of the big box stores. Let's call it Agent Orange, shall we? Who could that be? Who could that be, Kathy? It was supposed to be a temporary gig, but the Bush crime family had other ideas, and between the events on 1-9-11 and the downward spiral of our economy afterward, I have been there now for almost 10 years. What seemed like a harmless, okay job has me questioning my longevity there. I'm 44. I have a good work ethic and a list of accolades one can earn while serving time in the box. But for how long? The customers are getting worse, too. It seems that we are evolving toward a soundbite society. Instead of asking, say, where's the duct tape, the mindless hordes point at you and say, duct tape! They treat the average worker like a servant. And once they are in the box, suddenly they are the royalty and we are the peasants. I call it the killing floor as a joke, but it isn't. I see similarities to the book The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. Senior citizens are working here to supplement their retirement. Management cares about their own hide and are always looking to see whose throat they can cut or whose back they can stab next. It is depressing. I can only chew the inside of my cheeks and try to keep in lockstep, for I have a mortgage and a family to feed. I won't keep it lit, but I will tip a glass in your direction. Thanks for your show, Mark. By keep it lit, do you think I'm making a drug reference, Mark? Thanks, Mark. Okay, and we have tons more, but something Jim Hightower wrote about grinning bankers I want to get to. Probably not tonight. And again, program note, we will have a so-called, wait a minute. I have got to do the story corner, Chris Hedges, at the bottom of the hour, Kathy. That's when we'll do it. Do you have Uncle Mike's story corner music? All right. Anyway, we'll be off tomorrow night. We will be doing a rerun. We are off for Molly's 6th birthday, and which we're going to celebrate tomorrow night, just family. And on Saturday, she's having a party with all her little friends. And then we'll be back Friday. Steve is in Austin, Texas, listening on XM. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, distressed about this Sherrod incident.
Yeah.
First of all, with the NAACP's immediate response, Melissa Harris-Lacewell, I think she's Princeton professor of ethics. She's on the cable quite a bit. Pointed out the fact that red flags had gone up when they first heard the last name Sherrod, because she's married to Charles Sherrod, one of the founders of SNCC. One of the, for the younger folks, that's the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, who was an organizing group back in the 60s and 70s, contributing to the cessation of the illegal war in Vietnam. That should have rang some bells for them. But anyway.
In what way, Steve?
Well, that this was not an unprincipled person that they were dealing with.
I see.
And that perhaps they should have delved a little farther into the story than they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they did make quick amends.
Well,
administration.
First of all, I don't think Tom Vilsack, the Secretary of Agriculture, who allegedly made the decision to fire her, would know a snick from a snack. I mean, come on. There are a lot of white people his age who don't have a clue.
I was referring to the NAACP's reaction.
Oh, I see. NAACP, yeah. Right. All right, my bad.
Vilsack, I got to him next.
Yeah.
Vilsack should receive a call very early tomorrow morning that President Obama will be meeting with him to accept his resignation.
No, that'll never happen. But
that would be a principled person.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, that would be a principled action to take. And if I could say just 6 words to the listening audience, and they're very clean, no problem.
Sure.
President Obama is not a liberal.
Right.
I know you've touched on it, but, I mean, it's just like you need to shout it out the window every day or so.
Right.
It's disheartening. Hopefully, swifter and wiser moves will be taken by this administration, but I'm still leaning with you to just let them have it in 10, let them have it in 12, let them drive it in the ground.
I think I've backed away from that position, Steve, because, I see it as one of the more irrational statements I've made in a whole series of irrationals. I've become a very irrational person. I'm just eaten up with potential violence and bloodlust. So that might not be a good thing to do. You know, Sherrod, I had no idea. You say her husband?
Her husband, Charles Sherrod.
Because, you know, I'm good friends with John Lewis, the congressman from Atlanta, from the 5th District. And John Lewis at one time, John Lewis is one of the organizers of SNCC.
Yeah.
And
when I first heard the last name, it's one of those deals that's like, that name's familiar, but I don't know where, and I'm still driving down the road.
Well, it was.
And then a professor on the TV tonight pointed that out. So,
I had.
What were they thinking?
I had no idea, but you're right. NAACP.
Gotta do your homework. Yeah.
Should have done some homework. You're absolutely right.
All
right.
Take care.
I got a boogie. Thanks a lot, Steve. Take care. We'll be right back. Was nothing but a burglar's home. They chained my mind to an endless tune when they took my only son from me. I know it's true, oh so true, 'cause I saw it on TV. I know it's true, oh so true. I saw it on TV.
become 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
And hopes it goes away. 21 past the hour. Drew is in Milwaukee listening on Sirius. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Mike. How you doing today?
All right. How are you?
I'm just peachy. Hey, here's what I'm saying, okay? Now, you have the right-wing media and this guy, whatever his name is.
Breitbart,
yeah. Mm-hmm. They're manipulating the administration so bad and they're sitting back laughing. Because all they have to do is wave smoke in front of the administration's face, then they jump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the president's, well, Gibbs saying that, you know, the White House had nothing to do with this firing. They got on the radio, well, not the radio, but the news last night and made a statement that it was presented to the president, and he backs the decision. So, I mean, to say that the president had nothing to do with it, no, I don't know, you know. But it's like I was saying, it's sad, you know, they're manipulating this administration so they can sit back and say, you know, look at the competence of the administration, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He manipulated that easy.
That's the part I don't understand. I don't know why. Well, I think my education correspondent, Kay Petrini, answered the question. My question is why Obama doesn't step on these bastards like you step on a cockroach. But as Kay points out, and as we've talked before on this program, Obama is... Obama's not Caucasian, and nobody knows that better than he does. And I think he understands, maybe. I don't know. I don't even know anymore.
And, you know, Mike, in my eyes, you know, he's trying to tote that line so hard as to where he can't be considered biased on any side, but yet and still they're using it to their advantage.
Well, I know they do, but Obama, you know, Obama's in so many of these instances, he's in a lose-lose position. Unless, like I said, unless he would just, you know, maybe call up Eric Prince, the head of Blackwater, or Z as it's called now, and say, all right, Eric, look, you've been getting a lot of bad press. I'll tell you what, I'll order the boys to back off a little bit, but there's five people I want you to ice, and here are their names. And, you know, if he did that, you know, just call him up and say, hey, Eric, I got a little wet work for you.
Yeah.
Here they are. The first one, well, three of them work at Fox. You know, just do it. I mean, Obama could, but Cheney did it. Obama has already signed an order that allows our deep cover assassins to kill people. I don't think there's been a president since Kennedy who hasn't signed similar orders. If somebody around the globe gets too unruly and gets too out of line, we just send in a team that kills them. And Obama already has an order signed that says he can order the extrajudicial assassination of American citizens. Well, I have five or six that are on Fox that certainly deserve that. They are wreaking more terror in this country than any Al-Qaeda or Hamas or Likudnik or whoever. So why not just go ahead and do it, Mr. President? You've already ordered that it's legal if you say so. So why not get these, why not get Beck? Why not get the rest of these rat bastards and just step on them like a cockroach?
And Mike, would you bring up that point about, you know, them causing, you know, causing terrorism, you know, in what they're doing? You know, we lean on the right of freedom of speech. But I thought when freedom of speech infringes upon the safety of this country and, you
well,
know,
sure.
everything else, well, why isn't Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Fox News being, you know, held to that standard? It's no longer freedom of speech when it infringes on the security and safety of others.
That's right. I have no answer for you, Drew. No answer. No
all right,
answer.
My call, man.
All right. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. All right. We have a break coming here, and when we come back, Uncle Mike's Story Corner that I've held on to since Monday. And if I don't do it tonight, Kate in the Desert will put a hex on me that will cause blisters and bad boogers. So we're going to do it when we come back. And then we'll take some more phone calls if, I think time will allow. And this is by Uncle Mike's Story Corner tonight is by one of my favorite writers. Because he is so apocalyptic. Ugh. Chris Hedges, stick around. We'll be right back. It is 25 of before the hour. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. And we used to have music. Ah, there it is. Gather round, kiddies. Here in the East, it's way past your bedtime, but it's okay. In the West, it's getting close to your bedtime. Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Tonight's title, Calling All Future Eaters. Ooh. The human species, during its brief time on Earth, has exhibited a remarkable capacity to kill itself off. The Cro-Magnons dispatched the gentler Neanderthals. The conquistadors, with the help of smallpox, decimated the native populations in the Americas. Modern industrial warfare in the 20th century took at least 100 million lives, most of them civilians, and now we sit passive and dumb as corporations and the leaders of industrialized nations ensure that climate change will accelerate to levels that could mean the extinction of our species. Homo sapiens, as the biologist Tim Flannery points out, are the future eaters. In the past, when civilizations went belly up through greed, mismanagement, and the exhaustion of natural resources, human beings migrated somewhere else to pillage anew. But this time, the game is over. There's nowhere else to go. The industrialized nations spent the last century seizing half the planet and dominating most of the other half. We giddily exhausted our natural capital, especially fossil fuel, to engage in an orgy of consumption and waste that poisoned the earth and attacked the ecosystem on which human life depends. It was quite a party, if you were a member of the industrialized elite, but it was pretty stupid. Collapse this time around will be global. We will disintegrate together, and there is no way out. The 10,000-year experiment of settled life is about to come to a crashing halt. And humankind, which thought it was given dominion over the earth and all living things, will be taught a painful lesson in the necessity of balance, restraint, and humility. There is no human monument or city ruin that is more than 5,000 years old. Civilization, Ronald Wright notes in A Short History of Progress, occupies a mere 0.2% of the 2.5 million years since our first ancestor sharpened a stone. Bye-bye, Paris. Bye-bye, New York. Bye-bye, Tokyo. Welcome to the new experience of human existence in which rooting around for grubs on islands in northern latitudes is the prerequisite for survival. We view ourselves as rational creatures, but is it rational to wait like sheep in a pen as oil and natural gas companies, coal companies, chemical industries, plastics manufacturers, the automotive industry, arms manufacturers, and the leaders of the industrial world, as they did in Copenhagen, take us to mass extinction? Is it too late to prevent profound climate change? It is. But why add fuel to the fire? Why allow our ruling elite, driven by the lust for profits, to accelerate the death spiral? Why continue to obey the laws and dictates of our executioners? The news is grim. The accelerating disintegration of Arctic sea ice means that summer ice will probably disappear within the next decade. The open water will absorb more solar radiation, significantly increasing the rate of global warming. The Siberian permafrost will disappear, sending up plumes of methane gas from underground. The Greenland ice sheet and Himalayan Tibetan glaciers will melt. Jay Zwolle, a NASA climate scientist, declared in December 2007, quote, "The Arctic is often cited as the canary in the coal mine for climate warming. Now, as a sign of climate warming, the canary has died. It is time to start getting out of the coal mines." But reality is rarely an impediment to human folly. The world's greenhouse gases have continued to grow since Mr. Zwolle's statement. Global emissions of carbon dioxide from burning fuels, fossil fuels, since 2000 have increased by 3% a year. At that rate, annual emissions will double every 25 years. James Hansen, the head of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies and one of the world's foremost climate experts, has warned that if we keep warming the planet, it will be, quote, "a recipe for global disaster," end quote. The safe level of CO2 in the atmosphere, Hansen estimates, is no more than 350 parts per million. The current level of CO2 is 385 parts per million and climbing. This already guarantees terrible consequences, even if we act immediately to cut carbon emissions. The natural carbon cycle for 3 million years has ensured that the atmosphere contained less than 300 parts per million of CO2, which sustained the wide variety of life on the planet. The idea now championed by our corporate elite, at least those in contact with the reality of global warming, is that we will intentionally overshoot 350 and then return to a safer climate through rapid and dramatic emission cuts. This, of course, is a theory designed to absolve the elite from doing anything now. But as Clive Hamilton, in his book Requiem for a Species, Why We Resist the Truth About Climate Change, writes, quote, "Even if carbon dioxide concentrations reach 550 parts per million, after which emissions fell to zero, the global temperatures would continue to rise for at least another century." Copenhagen was perhaps the last chance to save ourselves. Barack Obama and the other leaders of the industrialized nations blew it. Radical climate change is certain. It is only a question of how bad it will become. The engines of climate change will, climate scientists have warned, soon create a domino effect that could thrust the Earth into a chaotic state for thousands of years before it regains equilibrium. Hamilton writes, quote, "Whether human beings would still be a force on the planet or even survive is a moot point. One thing is certain, there will be far fewer of us," end quote. We have fallen prey to the illusion that we can modify and control our environment, that human ingenuity ensures the inevitability of human progress, and that our secular god of science will save us. Hamilton writes, quote, "The intoxicating belief that we can conquer all has come up against a greater force, the Earth itself. The prospect of runaway climate change challenges our technological hubris, our enlightenment faith and reason, and the whole modernist project. The Earth may soon demonstrate that ultimately it cannot be tamed, and that the human urge to master nature has only roused a slumbering beast," end quote. The leaders of corporations now determine our fate. They are not endowed with human decency or compassion, yet their lobbyists make the laws. Their public relations firms craft the propaganda and trivia pumped out through systems of mass communication. Their money determines elections. Their greed turns workers into global serfs and our planet into a wasteland. As climate change advances, we will face a choice between obeying the rules put in place by corporations or rebellion. those who work human beings to death in overcrowded factories in China and turn the Gulf of Mexico into a dead zone are the enemy. They serve systems of death. They cannot be reformed or trusted. The climate crisis is a political crisis. We will either defy the corporate elite, which will mean civil disobedience, a rejection of traditional politics for a new radicalism, and the systematic breaking of laws, or we will see ourselves consumed. Time is not on our side. The longer we wait, the more assured our destruction becomes. The future, if we remain passive, will be wrested from us by events. Our moral obligation is not to structures of power, but to life. Uncle Mike's Story Corner, calling all future eaters by Chris Hedges. Isn't he a wonderful storyteller? What happened, Uncle Mike's Story Corner music? There it is. Thank you. It's gone again. It ran out? Okay. Dave is in West Hollywood, California, listening on KTLK. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Mike. I want to make a comment about Uncle Mike's Story Corner.
Yeah.
He left, or was that Chris Hedges?
Yeah, that was Chris Hedges.
Okay. He left out chemtrails. We've been controlling the weather since 1970. And if we didn't spray, every cloud you see is an artificial chemtrail. Mostly aluminum oxide reflects the heat, prevents us from turning into Venus. Then I want to just tell you the reason I called another so-called, I'm not talking about you, so-called progressive.
Yeah.
And the screener wouldn't let me on, but she said, I was saying, I know the Tea Party is racist, but what about AIDS killing Africa? And she said, look, buddy, I went to AIDS, South Africa as a journalist, and I said, what's this modern country? In front of other journalists, she asked a doctor, what's this modern country doing with an epidemic of AIDS? And his last sentence was, we need to get rid of these heifers, meaning black people. She came back to America, showed it to black magazines, and they wouldn't touch it. Surprise, surprise. Okay, Mike, I'm going to hang up, and I'll just get your comments. And a lot of us atheist, agnostic types still pray for Kathy, and we're glad she's happy. Bye-bye.
You pray for Kathy? Why do you have atheist, agnostic types praying for you? Huh? Can't hear you. Turn your mic on.
No idea.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
I feel like I'm almost a Jew, but when it comes to times like Korea, there's no one more red, white, and blue. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. I vote for the Democratic Party. They want the UN to...
For the hour. One more time, we will be doing a rebroadcast tomorrow night while we celebrate Molly's birthday. We'll be back Friday. AJ is in Cleveland listening on XM. Hey, AJ.
Hey, Mike. I love the show, and it's an absolute honor to talk to you. I'm just calling in. I'm sure you probably talked about it earlier, but I was at work to get your show. Fox News is totally not accepting responsibility for this whole racism fiasco with, I forget her name, the lady, the USDA lady. I watched Bill O'Reilly at work, a co-worker that's very libertarian, so I'm kind of stuck with it. And it's everyone else's fault but Fox News. It's Obama's fault for firing this lady.
Right.
They take no responsibility in their actions. None whatsoever. And it angers me. It angers me that they just make up the news as they go and they take no responsibility.
Well, they're not only are they liars, but they're also cowards. They and when they are caught, like a cockroach in a roach motel, they don't have the adult brain power to do what you're saying, to take responsibility. Yeah, the whole Fox thing is just an exercise in kindergarten like behavior. It really is.
Right. I mean, I would have a little bit more. I don't respect them at all, but I would have a little bit of respect if they came out and be like, guys, you know what? We messed up. We apologize. It wasn't true. Instead of them pointing fingers at this other right-wing guy, the blogster.
No, well, they're there to foment destruction and death and chaos in this country. That is the sole reason that the Fox Channel is on. That's the sole reason that Beck and Hannity and O'Reilly and the rest of these animals are taken off the leash and allowed to do what they do. It is for the sole purpose. Because to these people, like Murdoch, a real Nazi, it is sport. It is fun to watch.
This lady, she sues the heck out of Murdoch and shows him what a frivolous lawsuit is. Because his company personally ruined her career. She was fired.
Not really. She's been offered even at this point a better job. There's no basis to sue, AJ. Because all they did was take what she said out of context. They just they cut off the tape at the point where she was trying to tell the story. They didn't wait, until the entire story was told. And remember, I want you to remember something, AJ. Fox News was involved, or a Fox News station owned and operated by Murdoch was involved in a court case several years ago, where I forget the exact particulars, but the station was sued because they had lied on the air. And this is not a slander or libel suit. It was just a lawsuit about lying. And the court ruled, a federal court ruled, that Fox News did not have to tell the truth. That in fact, nobody had to tell the truth, but the case was about Fox News. And the fact that Fox News was an organization that pumped lies into the ozone was perfectly okay. That there is no requirement that a news gathering organization, no matter what it really is, if it identifies itself as such, or a television station or a radio station, they have no, there's nothing that would force them to tell the truth. So what the judge was saying was that lying to its audience was perfectly okay, and Fox has done it ever since. AJ, I gotta leave it there. Fox has done it ever since, and they will continue to do it. Excuse me, because that is their raison d'etre. That's the reason that they are in business. Rupert Murdoch is a lying Nazi. He is as much of a Nazi as anybody in Hitler's inner circle. They are about death, destruction, chaos, the breakdown of law and order, and the establishment of absolute corporatist fascism in this country. And to that end, Murdoch has hired the kind of swine like Beck, like Hannity, like O'Reilly, and they have been instructed, go for it, do whatever you want to do, and being the type of subhumans that they are, that's exactly what they're doing, and they're paid very well to do it, very well to do it, and the people who listen to them and think that what they are hearing is even in the same county as anything remotely resembling the truth are indicating how stupid they are. But come on, this is America. We are known for our stupidity. We are known for our lack of understanding about anything, and we're certainly known for our sense of our lack of a sense of justice. Mark is in San Francisco. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. You know what we're dealing with right now is we're dealing with basically Hitler, but Hitler's in different faces. I mean, we've got Hannity and Beck, and that's the same rhetoric they heard in Germany. The hate speech.
Oh, sure, sure, absolutely.
And we wouldn't put up with Hitler here. Why are we putting up with these guys?
I don't know. And it seems to me that there should be a way to remove them. The only thing I can, and since there is not, these cowardly bastards hide behind the Constitution. All I can do is hope for car wrecks and apartment fires and earthquakes and tornadoes that remove them from where the rest of us live, from where decent human beings live. You know, what are you going to do? Again, though, I would just wish Obama would call in Eric Prince and give him an assignment. Come on, Mr. President, forget about people who might support Hamas. What about people inside this country that are destroying the whole country? Why not get rid of them? You know what I'm saying? I'll see you Friday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.